Are you with us? Luzhniki. Attention, can you hear us? Luzhniki. Attention, dear friends, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for a presidential candidate of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin. Russia, 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 Russia. Our presidential candidate is Putin. Putin. Putin.
Ah, Luzhniki Stadium, Moscow, February 23rd, 2012. A big rally for Russian presidential candidate Vladimir Putin. And the announcer, you heard the translator, pumping up the crowd for the main speaker. You know that in 2012, America had a presidential election, Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama. But did you know Russia had one too? And it happens again in 2024. Both America and Russia have presidential elections. Russia's presidents serve six-year terms. So the last time the U.S. and Russia both held presidential elections in the same year was 2012. And Putin was a candidate both times. In the 2024 U.S. presidential election, Russia and Putin are a hot topic. But what about 2012? As you'll hear in this episode of C-SPAN's The Weekly, in 2012, presidential candidates also had lots to say about a country and a president it seems we're always talking about, Russia and Putin.
Hello, I'm Pam, and joining me today is Zach as we celebrate 45 years of C-SPAN's unblinking eye on the democratic process.
That's right, Pam. Since our founding in 1979, C-SPAN has been documenting history with a unique approach. Unfiltered, without commentary, and entirely independent from government funding. C-SPAN is funded by fees from our cable and satellite distribution partners, and now, with fewer people subscribing to cable and satellite, we're asking you to help support our next 45 years.
It's amazing to see how C-SPAN has adapted and grown. With the rise of digital platforms and social media, C-SPAN has expanded its reach so that no matter where you are, you have 24/7, 365 access to the democratic process.
As we navigate this ever-changing media environment, C-SPAN's dedication to putting you in the rooms where politics is debated and policy is determined will not waver.
We ask you to support C-SPAN's vital mission. As we celebrate 45 years of service, your contribution helps us to continue to adapt and grow in this digital age. Visit cspan.org/donate to make your contribution today.
So, here's to 45 more years of bringing democracy directly to you wherever you get your news. Thank you for your support. Visit cspan.org/donate today to make a difference.
Let's set the scene. Appearing on C-SPAN on July 6, 2012, from Politico, here's Jonathan Martin.
Is it too early yet, or do you have any sense of how the Obama administration will react to a Romney foreign policy trip?
Bill Kastner, you know, refighting the Cold War. When he spoke out earlier this year against Russia, calling them our biggest geopolitical foe, the Obama folks tried to sort of, you know, portray Romney as almost an Austin Powers-like figure who was refighting the Cold War, lo, these many years later.
And here's what that campaign rhetoric sounded like. First, we'll hear several times from Republican challenger Mitt Romney, then several reactions from President Barack Obama. To tee it off, here's Mitt Romney on October 3rd, 2011, during the New Hampshire Republican presidential primary, meeting with reporters and editors of the influential Union Leader newspaper.
Would Russia like to reassert itself as a military superpower? I believe so. There again, modernizing their military, it fell badly into disrepair during the Yeltsin years. Putin has said that the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. I think he's intent on reversing it. I don't know how far that would go. I don't know whether they intend to annex other nations or how they intend to do it, but I think they want to become a military powerhouse. The New START Treaty that they negotiated is a very one-sided document, in my opinion, which places Russia in a position of supremacy relative to ourselves, particularly in tactical nuclear weapons. In strategic nuclear weapons, we're on an even playing field. But tactical nuclear weapons, they're way ahead.
On July 24, 2012, Mitt Romney addressed the veterans of foreign wars. He mentioned the Russian presidential election.
The Russian government defended the dictator in Damascus aiming him as he slaughtered the Syrian people. We can only guess what Vladimir Putin makes of the Obama administration. He regained the Russian presidency in a corrupt election, and for that he got a congratulatory call from the Oval Office. Then there was that exchange picked up by a microphone that President Obama didn't know was on. We heard him asking Dmitry Medvedev to tell Mr. Putin to give him space. This is my last election, he said. After my election, I'll have more flexibility. Why is it that flexibility with Russian leaders is more important to him than transparency for the American people?
Here's Mitt Romney on August 30th, 2012, his speech at the Republican National Convention accepting his party's nomination.
President Obama has thrown allies like Israel under the bus, even as he has relaxed sanctions on Castro's Cuba. He abandoned our friends in Poland by walking away from our missile defense commitments. But he's eager to give Russia's President Putin the flexibility he desires after the election. Under my administration, our friends will see more loyalty, and Mr. Putin will see a little less flexibility and more backbone.
By the way, Mitt Romney also mentioned Vladimir Putin during his speech to the Republican National Convention in 2008.
Republicans, led by John McCain and Sarah Palin, will fight to preserve the values that have preserved the nation. We'll strengthen our economy and keep us from being held hostage by Putin, Chavez, and Ahmadinejad. And we will never allow America to retreat in the face of evil extremism.
And now Barack Obama. Here's his speech accepting his party's presidential nomination. September 6, 2012, the Democratic National Convention.
And my opponent and his running mate are new to foreign policy. But from all that we've seen and heard, they want to take us back to an era of blustering and blundering that cost America so dearly. After all, you don't call Russia our number one enemy, not Al-Qaeda, Russia, unless you're still stuck in a Cold War mind warp.
And here's President Obama on October 22, 2012, the third presidential debate, the one focusing on foreign policy.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat, because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia, not Al-Qaeda. You said Russia in the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years. But, Governor, you know, when it comes to our foreign policy, you seem to want to import the foreign policies of the 1980s, just like the social policies of the 1950s and the economic policies of the 1920s. You say that you're not interested in duplicating what happened in Iraq, but just a few weeks ago you said you think we should have more troops in Iraq right now. And the challenge we have, I know you haven't been in a position to actually execute foreign policy, but every time you've offered an opinion, you've been wrong.
Mitt Romney reacted this way.
But I'll respond to a couple of things you mentioned. First of all, Russia, I indicated, is a geopolitical foe. Not
number
a,
one.
No, excuse me. It's a geopolitical foe. And I said in the same paragraph, I said, and Iran is the greatest national security threat we face. Russia does continue to battle us in the UN time and time again. I have clear eyes on this. I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin. And I'm certainly not going to say to him, I'll give you more flexibility after the election. After the election, he'll get more backbone.
During the campaign, Vice President Joe Biden also took swipes at Mitt Romney for his language choice on Russia. Here are several times it happened. April 26, 2012, a major foreign policy speech.
But just a month ago, Governor Romney called, and here again I quote, without question, our number one geopolitical foe is Russia. As my brother would say, go figure. And sometimes, I don't know whether it's a slip of the tongue or it's a mindset, but he even refers to Russia as the Soviets, which I think reveals a mindset. Everybody sometimes slips. I never do, but everybody sometimes slips. Look, I think it's fair to say, when it comes to Russia, based on only what we know he's said so far, Governor Romney is mired in a Cold War mindset.
Vice President Biden repeated that line, mired in a Cold War mindset, during a July 12, 2012 speech to the NAACP.
Where Russia is viewed, in his mind, as the greatest geopolitical threat America faces. Where in the future, we once again decide to go it alone. This guy's vision of the future of American foreign policy is mired in the Cold War, and the Cold War is over.
A May 22, 2012 speech on the economy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't even touched on Romney's foreign policy. Where he says, for example, that Russia is, quote, our number one geopolitical foe.
And Vice President Biden campaigning in Florida, October 31st, 2012, with some crowd-pleasing mimicry of Mitt Romney.
He went from labeling Russia, who up to recently called the Soviet Union, labeling Russia our most significant geopolitical foe. Well, let me tell you something. He also was opposed to the New START Treaty, which every single solitary former Republican Secretary of State, Republican National Security Advisor, Republican Secretary of Defense was for, and he was flat against it. He said he would have never supported it. Well, all of a sudden, I found out his new best buddy's Putin, man, I tell you. That's amazing.
We can work with Russia. We can be very close with Russia.
I mean...
As for Mitt Romney's running mate, Paul Ryan brought up Putin during the October 11, 2012 vice presidential debate during a discussion of Syria.
Nobody is proposing to send troops to Syria, American troops. Now, let me say it this way. How would we do things differently? We wouldn't refer to Bashar Assad as a reformer when he's killing his own civilians with his Russian-provided weapons. We wouldn't be outsourcing our foreign policy to the United Nations, giving Vladimir Putin veto power over our efforts to try and deal with this issue. He's vetoed three of them. Hillary Clinton went to Russia to try and convince them not to do so. They thwarted her efforts. She said they were on the wrong side of history. She was right about that. This is just one more example of how the Russia reset's not working.
Others that year also knocked Mitt Romney for his Russia rhetoric, like Colin Powell. Here's the former Secretary of State during a May 29, 2012 book tour interview.
And so we have no peer competitor like we did with the old Soviet Union. Russia is not the Soviet Union. Has nuclear weapons.
Mitt Romney said there are main geopolitical rivals.
I disagree with my good friend Mitt. I don't think they are a geostrategic foe to us. Do they get silly? Do they say things that are troublesome? Well, Mr. Putin does that all the time.
And John Kerry. On September 6, 2012, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee addressed the Democratic National Convention.
Every president of both parties for 60 years has worked for nuclear arms control, but not Mitt Romney. Republican secretaries of state, from Kissinger to Baker, Powell to Rice, President Bush, 71 United States senators all supported President Obama's New START Treaty, but not Mitt Romney. He's even blurted out the preposterous notion that Russia is our number one political, geopolitical foe. Folks, Sarah Palin said she could see Russia from Alaska. Mitt Romney talks like he's only seen Russia by watching Rocky IV. I tell you.
4 months after saying that, John Kerry was nominated to be Secretary of State. Mitt Romney's thoughts about Russia still attracted attention after he lost in 2012. In 2018, he ran for U.S. Senate from Utah. During an October 1st, 2018 discussion at Rice University's Baker Institute, Russia came up.
I felt at that time in 2012 that Russia was our greatest geopolitical adversary, political. I wasn't expecting them to launch some kind of a warhead towards us or military action against us, but they were a geopolitical adversary, basically poking us wherever they could and supporting the world's worst actors, from Kim Jong-un to Assad and others, and see them playing on that geopolitical stage at that point quite effectively as an adversary. The greatest threat, I thought, came from Iran becoming nuclear.
And even as recently as February 27th, 2024, here's Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell during remarks on the Senate floor, summarizing, from a pro-Romney point of view, what President Obama and Vice President Biden said during the 2012 campaign.
Think about America's own behavior back in 2014. President Obama was 6 years removed from a promise to reset relations with Russia, and little more than a year removed from mocking his opponent on the presidential debate stage for warning of the threat posed by Putin. As you put it smugly to our colleague, my opponent, Romney, the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back. That same year, then Vice President Biden said our colleague from Utah was, quote, mired in a Cold War mindset. Well, of course, the Obama-Biden administration didn't just scoff at realism on Russia. They assiduously avoided it.
Finally, we've heard from two secretaries of state about Russia and Putin in 2012. Let's hear from one more, 2 years later, April 2014. And this time, it's President Obama's first secretary of state, Hillary Clinton. As she was speaking at the Women in the World Summit, 40,000 Russian troops were massing on the border with Ukraine after Russia annexed Crimea. And Secretary Clinton makes a point about Putin we still hear today.
Vladimir Putin, in my view, is motivated by the past. He wants to recreate it. He wants to reclaim it. He wants to restore what he views as the proper place of Russia in the world order. He is motivated by his looking back on history, going back to the czars. He has publicly said that the collapse of the Soviet Union was a great catastrophe. He believes that politics is a zero-sum game, which means that Russia can't do well with all of the great resources and assets Russia has, starting with its people, if other people are doing well, and therefore he wants to do what he can to elevate the Russian position, particularly in its neighborhood, among those countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union and were part of the Warsaw Pact.
And now, a bonus clip. All this talk about Putin, and we haven't even heard from him yet. So now's the time. Let's return to where we started, Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow, back to that Putin for President rally, February 23rd, 2012. It was Defender of the Fatherland Day in Russia. And since we just heard Hillary Clinton discuss how much Vladimir Putin is motivated by the past, let's get an example. Here's Putin at that rally, through a translator, talking about Russia's military past. In this clip, he's marking 200 years since Russia's infamous battle to defend Moscow from Napoleon.
I thank you for every vote. We can still do a great deal for our country, for our people. And we will do it while relying on the talent of our people, on our great history that has been written with the blood and sweat of our ancestors. This year, we'll be celebrating 200th anniversary since the Battle of Borodino. How can we not remember the poet Lermontov and his heroes, warriors? We remember those words since we were children, since we went to school. We remember those warriors who, before they went to fight the Battle of Moscow, they swore their allegiance to their fatherland and they dreamed of dying for it. Do you remember how they said it? Yesenin? Yesenin, we will remember him as well. We'll remember all our greatness. So let us recall those words. Let us die at the approaches to Moscow, like our brothers used to do, and die, we promised to. And our oath did we keep. The battle of Russia continues. The victory will be ours. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of C-SPAN's The Weekly. A reminder, there's lots more to learn about presidential elections in America and in Russia by searching the C-SPAN video library. And of course, you already know the outcome of the 2012 presidential election. In America, Obama won. And in Russia, let's see, check notes. Ah, Putin won. For now, thanks for listening, happy searching, and for our special musical send-off, we return one last time to Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow and the band that played after Putin spoke. Please welcome to the podcast the musical stylings of the chart-topping Russian rock band Yubi, featuring legendary lead singer Nikolai Rasturguyev. Девки ходят гурьбой.